the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 438-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what else?
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down in my mind. She runs throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with golden brown.
We're back at the races, 20 plus into hour three, fast-moving weekend preview, and the action's going to be fast-moving, starting this afternoon and then into Saturday night at Churchill. And frankly, pretty appreciative that Churchill card is coming in the evening, because there's just too much. But not, there's never too much for Ed DeRosa, who will bet on potato bugs crawling on the windshield of the car. Good morning.
As long as there's a carryover.
and the takeout's all right. Ed, maybe it's me. I know that these weekends, the last of September, first of October, are always intense. But I ended up printing out stakes and sequences at Laurel, Monmouth for the match race ending, the Gulfstream action with, and I don't mean, not even talking Sunday's distribution, of the Rainbow Six. There's a tremendous card tomorrow at Gulfstream featuring the FTBOA Florida Sire Series races and that terrific rematch from the Affirmed. I printed out Delaware. Delaware's got their Governor's Cup Day and Owner's Appreciation Day, and that's a nice... I mean, I've got at least 8 different racetracks printed out.
And we get to do it all again next week when Keeneland opens and Belmont and Santa Anita have the rest of their winning year in races. So, yeah, an embarrassment of riches, a whirlwind, certainly with me being based here in Louisville and on air tomorrow night, a lot of focus on the mandatory and the trio of stakes. But as you said, big benefit, it's a night card, so we'll have plenty of action to keep my attention in the afternoon.
Well, and keep your powder dry, as they say. Don't You know, don't if there's something people like on Saturday's card at Churchill Saturday night, don't leave yourself too thin by the time those races roll around. I do want to remind. I was shuffling papers here to pull out some PPs, and I want to remind one more time: the free NHC contest tomorrow. And horseplayers.com, of course, a lot of you that played in the contest, in the Beat Pick contest, you know, you got in for the buck. Here's another chance. There's five seats going to be awarded tomorrow, and tour points for the top 100 finishers. But the top five of you will get seats, and the races are up now at horseplayers.com. So do not forget to enter and take a shot at another free seat. Ed, start wherever you want.
Well, I will start at Churchill because the three stakes there, they don't close the card, but they do close the pick six. And I'm actually against at least the morning line favorite in each of the three races. We'll see who ends up taking the money. But starts with the ACAC, one turn mile, really interesting race. Timeline comes in off a long layoff, first time for Steve. From Chad Brown's barn. Certainly have a lot of respect for what, I don't want to say what that horse accomplished, but they had high hopes, and he danced some big dances. This is a tough assignment, though. First off the bench, the one-turn mile against some formidable stakes foes. Thirst for Life, I think, is vulnerable for different reasons. Obviously, fine drawing a line through the race where he lost the rider. I just don't know that he's any faster than some of the horses I'm about to talk about. So to take a short price on him, albeit with a lot of respect from what I think is an underrated barn, West Hawley, 3-1, just a little light for me. So I'd love to be in a spot where I'm live to a few here. Mr. Jagermeister, certainly electrifying, gate to wire type, certainly a threat stretching out. Some may say there's distance concerns, but he has one at two turns. This is a one-turn mile. I'm a believer, and I think 6-1's the right price. Mr. Darcy and Mr. Freeze both fit for me as well. Maybe Mr. Freeze keeps Mr. Jagermeister company. Mr. Darcy would get first run there. I think 10-1 is extremely generous on him, stretching back out to a mile off that 6-furlong tightener. And then CZ Rocket ran into a buzzsaw on Recruiting Ready and just didn't run him down, and I'm not holding that against him. I do think second off the layoff, he's dangerous to improve down on the inside with Burrell. If he gets a rail pass, look out late. So I think there's a lot of looks in the ACAC.
I felt the same way. I thought that there was a lot to deal with in here, and I'll reiterate that Scully wrote me a note yesterday that he was going to be playing golf, and he likes the Minnesota bred, Mr. Jagermeister. So that's the one push that we can slip in from Scully. How about the Jeff Cup, which I thought was one of the most well-matched group of horses the whole weekend?
Absolutely, yeah, really tough. And when we'll see who actually is the favorite, but Tracksmith for Joe Sharp and Adam Biskitza chipping in off the fourth place at Colonial, and Faraway Kitten are the morning line prices, and I just didn't think there's nothing's an excuse there. Even after the tough start in the Caesars, the fact that this one might be a short price when he's gone backwards since the American Derby is a concern to me. And one thing I've noticed, Steve, you know, I posted earlier this week with Churchill Downs, just I think 31% favorites. It's been a tough meet to take short prices. And one thing I've noticed, whether it's Brisnet, Thoroughgraph, is the horses that have been going backwards on numbers have not performed well. So betting black back class at short prices has not been a recipe for success at Churchill. So that's something that's stuck in my mind with Faraway Kitten. When I spoke with Florent Giroux before the races yesterday, he was very keen on Mick Starr. The reason I wanted to talk to him was about Quip, who we'll get to in the Lucas Classic. But he went out of his way to mention this horse, who went gate to wire at Kentucky Downs and now stretches back out. He was bullish that Tom Amos has this one figured out. So that stuck out to me that he went out of his way to talk about that horse. And I know Chris Hartman loves getting Carew's back, was placed first on DQ in the Caesars, which I do think was the right move. Figures to get another mid-pack trip under Corey Lannery, and we still should get an okay price. It won't be 14-1, but I do think he fits in here off his last. So 3-4 stuck out to me in the Jefferson Cup, but I'm with you. Super well-matched race. Garza Cool has run fast. This is his turf debut. This mandatory, though, even at 20 cents, you can't use them all. So 3 and 4 are the two I'm going to try to narrow on, I think.
Yeah, I struggled as well, and especially because we ended up getting very involved in that race in Indiana. And we really did, because Catman was on with us because, of course, he had won the Philly race. And so we talked about Clinton Maroon, and, you know, I felt so bad for Jimmy Baker and Candy. And you know, the horse ran such a courageous race, a big chance for them to, you know, to cash in a $200,000 spot. So I sort of was emotionally invested. And then I talked to Joe Sharp the other day, and Tracksmith looks awfully good. So this is a nice follow-up as we start to run out of opportunities for three-year-olds to run in restricted company. Still a couple of spots like the QE2 and so forth, but not too many more. How about the Lucas Classic? And we understand Silver Dust is coming out, that from Marty McGee.
All right. Well, that definitely narrows my ticket, because I was a believer in that West Virginia Cup, and to the tune of really liking Snapper Sinclair going dirt to turf, which was one of my only good opinions at the Kentucky Downs meet, unfortunately. But that was a good one to have, at least. That still does live Kukulkan, though. I think is dangerous. 6-1, I think, which is probably a little lighter now with Silver Dust coming out. But this horse has clicked consistently decent speed numbers and gets Lannery back. Popular choice at Churchill, of course. But I thought that West Virginia Cup, absolutely, the number came back quick. Maybe there were some doubts. Hopefully Snapper Sinclair shows it was legit. And that is good enough to win this race. And figuring that Quip is going to be the favorite, and going back to what I said in the ACAC, Steve, that was just a big step back. And, you know, when I spoke with Florent yesterday, I didn't really get the sense that they know what the excuse is. That concerns me a little bit. He's just not a horse I want as the favorite after seeing race after race, short-priced horses who took a step back in their last, not being up to the task at this competitive meet. So I'm against the favorite. I do like Kukulkan, probably my top choice now, because it was going to be Silver Dust. And then Macedo Rojo, sticking with the governor's stakes named after governor's theme. That Remington race looks good, and G Money coming in for the mount for these connections. So, Remington and Mountaineer, I think, could have a big say in this Lucas Classic.
Yeah, I know it doesn't have the powerhouse lineup, there's every opportunity for it to produce, you know, to produce one or two, maybe more Breeders' Cup starters. Not everybody necessarily has to go to the Classic out of it, going the mile in the eighth. We'll see. I won't make a decision actually on this until I write it up in the morning. And it's funny, when I sat down, Ed, and my initial reaction was to probably write up Belmont for tomorrow, but then folding in the jackpot payout at Churchill, the more I looked at this sequence, the more I liked it. Those two maiden races and that 2-year-old non-winners of two. This is a very approachable, you know, 20 cent type of a payout, force out, mandatory.
Yeah, I think so. And what we've seen, you know, just day in and day out with the pick fives and when the pick six does pay, is the racing's competitive enough that there's just no obvious single. And I haven't looked too closely at the first three races yet, but I can't imagine with the two of the maiden races that there's going to be one that totally jumps off the page. So, you know, you have to be right. And knowing that you will get paid and rewarded for being right, you know, I'm going into it knowing that if Quip is back to his best, I'm in trouble. I'm going to be vulnerable, but he is going to be a short price. And if I can get live to a few of them, I have to think that the floor for this payout is in the thousands. And if you connect on $120 or $30 horse, you're giving yourself a chance for even bigger payoffs. It's a 20-cent increment. So, and only 15% comes off the new money. So really good opportunity. But you are going to have to be right. There's just no gimmies in the sequence, and that there haven't been all meat, really.
Any other Churchill opinions?
Nothing else at Churchill yet. Certainly, leading into tomorrow, I encourage everyone to see what I have to say about the previous races. But overall, just and we talked about this last week, very competitive race. And I would say if anyone wants to glean anything from my thoughts on these races, having watched them all and been there, it is that it seems like you need to be informed. These horses, whether you're, you know, a Thoroughgraph user and look at the patterns, or, you know, can just discern it from the PPs, if they're taking steps backward coming into here, even on drops in class, it's not working out, Steve.
Interesting. You know, and there were a few things. There's a few things that over the course of the year that sort of fit that same MO, including at Saratoga, where Nick Tamaro, very early in the meet, started pointing out that the strength of the turf program was taking its toll on the dirt, you know, on the meat and potato dirt horses, you know, in the claiming ranks. And in fact, the Kentucky horses and horses from other parts of the country were coming in at that middle level, you know, that 25 to 50 claimer level, and were thumping the horses in New York. And that was a terrific wave to catch. And Nick was on that bandwagon. In fact, he kind of built the bandwagon. So these wrinkles, those crevices, that's, you know, that's where you take your crowbar and pry it open and hit it hard.
Yeah, and being ahead of the curve in any parimutuel game is where you want to be. So kudos to him. And it's a short meet, and people forget. So things to keep in mind in November, which figures to be just as competitive and, you know, fun to play, because when you do hit, again, the payouts exceed maybe some other more typical opportunities.
Any spot plays around the country?
Yeah, well, you know, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, you know, with the field size, not going to get any sort of big price. But it is a game of edges, and you want to push your edge when you think you have it. I do think this is Tacitus's time, and with Preservationist coming off a win and Code of Honor both, maybe we get the right price. I mean, the word is out. We all know Tacitus's talent, the issues, et cetera. So not exactly breaking the mold here, but I do feel breaking the, you know, any big secret, but do feel like we're actually maybe have a chance at some value. Compact Field has every chance to, you know, maybe take the race in his hands and hooves, so we'll see. But I'm eager to play him, and would say anything 2-1 or higher, I'm going to have to take the plunge.
Very good.
And then other than that, kind of chalky when I looked around. I mean, I do think Imperial Hint is awfully formidable. Again, no big secret. And I will say, as much as we've talked about Saturday, these two-year-old races at Santa Anita today, obviously they go through Baffert, but I'm really keen to see how this American Pharoah shakes out with Eight Rings and the Sheriff's horse. And I know Dale Roman, I know he's hoping the Eight Rings airmail so he can get a better price on Breeders' Cup Day and those big pools with Dennis's moment. But I think we're already starting to get maybe the feel of these two separating themselves and being the talking horses going into the Breeders' Cup. So it's just a watch for me, because I think the board's just going to gravitate to the obvious two. But really looking forward to seeing what it tells us about the juvenile trail and onto the Derby.
Very good. I agree. I'm as excited about that race as any on the weekend. This should be really entertaining tonight. And for those that haven't sat down with it yet, you're looking at a post time 8:13. I take that back. That's the Saturday card. Let's switch to the Friday edition. There we go. I got so many, as I said, I got tons of PPs. 7:40 Eastern time for the American Pharoah.
There you go. And my parting shot would be, yes, the mandatory payout Saturday. I'm sure a lot of people will be involved Sunday at Gulfstream, but it is closing day, so that Sunday pick six, no jackpot condition either. So those looking for a 15%, 20-cent pick six on Sunday, the mandatory payout, even with no carryover, I think there should be some opportunity there as well. So looking forward to a great weekend coast to coast.
Ed, best of luck. We'll talk to you and James next week. EJXD2, Ed DeRosa, everybody, and watch Ed and Joe on the Churchill feed. They've had a great September meet. We're going to talk about the Breeders' Cup meet at Santa Anita right now. Jeff Siegel is going to join us, and Jeff, courtesy of ExpressBet, on a regular basis through Breeders' Cup at least, and it's always a pleasure when we get a chance to talk to the brain, the one and only Jeff Siegel. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Steve?
Jeff, terrific, and looking forward to these conversations because, of course, you know, your approach to the game, your just breadth of experience and understanding, you've got such a such a level approach, and the way you pick out horses, the way you suggest people play, it's just been proven so consistently over the years, people that are learning the game in particular can take a lot from your approach.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we have a good time out here. I've been doing it forever, and it's so funny because there's I was thinking about this, that there's a horse that's running in the Eddie D named Pee Wee Reese. Now, some of you old baseball fans remember Pee Wee Reese playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and now, he was my first autograph when I was a kid at 7 years old when the Dodgers moved to Los Angeles. And it just goes to show you, I figured I have been around a long time based on that, it's a fun thing. I still enjoy it.
Well, of course, Nick Alexander, he's named him after Napla Joy. So
I don't go back that far.
I'm waiting. I'll tell you, since you brought this up, one of my first autographs came at our country club when I was a kid. There was I forget even who threw the event, Frankie Frisch.
Oh, yeah, Frankie Frisch, yes.
Unbelievable.
I didn't see him play, but I remember him. So
he was old when I met him, the Gas House Gang.
He goes way back.
Unbelievable. Well, that's the Gas House Gang, and one of the really great eras in baseball. Jeff, this meet, I started the morning talking to Jay Pridman, and obviously the pressures and the difficulties of the winter and spring made it very hard to enjoy playing Santa Anita, and I don't think I'm being unfair saying that. What's your feeling just coming in overall to the fall and leading toward Breeders' Cup?
I'm optimistic that it's going to be a good meeting. The things that the management has done here with regards to pre-entry inspection, really making sure that every horse that is going to run has been, examined to a point where the chances of them being sound enough to perform their best is there. The racetrack looks great. Hadn't had any issues in the morning, and here at Santa Anita, and especially in the West Coast, trainers like to train their horses, and we get 100 or more works a day, and knock on wood, so far so good, and I'm optimistic. I really am. I think that, again, the management has done everything they can to make sure that the horses are in prime fitness, and let's hope that it carries over to the meeting.
Oh, absolutely. And for, you know, for those that are playing Santa Anita, maybe they bypassed the winter and spring. I know my own handle, it really was cut back, to be honest. And, you know, it, literally since the time I started doing the show 15 years ago, Jeff, I became a huge fan. I had never bet California on a regular basis, and Hollywood and Santa Anita, it became a real staple, and I really had a lot of confidence in my opinions in Southern California, in part using Andy Harrington's workout insights. The addition, of course, in recent years of what XBTV has brought to the party with the workouts, and of course, you know, HRTV before XBTV, you know, you and Zoe and everybody give people such a leg up when it comes to, you know, seeing how horses are coming up to a race. Fold that into your overall handicapping theme.
Well, it's especially important at Santa Anita now, maybe more so than ever, because the racetrack is considerably deeper and slower and hopefully safer than it's ever been. So you're going to get a lot of horses that maybe labor over it and aren't quite ready to, maybe they're not quite fit enough, and you need to be fit on this racetrack. And I think the workouts are maybe more important than ever, because not only does it tell you who can run, but it also tells you who's fit. And you have to be fit, and it's okay. I don't care really how fast or slow they run as long as it's safe. But on this racetrack, and I know the trainers make reference to this all the time, where, you know, sometimes you have to have a race or two, and watching the workouts, at least you have an idea as to who might be ready and who might be a race away.
Well, let's dive in. And is there, on that topic, I mean, when you say that, and knowing, particularly after Del Mar, noting some of the way in which Doug O'Neill and John Sadler, I think, have taken clues in recent years from Baffert's workout patterns. And I see Sadler and O'Neill working horses 5 furlongs, 6 furlongs, and even 7 furlongs, emulating Baffert's approach. And you want fit horses, those kinds of works deliver.
Yeah, and I think what trainers, what I've seen anywhere, are trainers that are maybe going a little farther than they would in the morning, but not as fast. Nobody wants to, mm-hmm. you know, to ask their horses too much in the morning. I mean, you want to save them for the afternoon. So, yeah, I've noticed that. You don't see very many fast works anymore, even from the Baffert barn. If you can go a minute and change, a minute and change now is like in 58 and change a few years back, and 3/4 and 14 used to be 3/4 and 11 or 12. So I think the trainers are aware of the fact that they don't want to really work their horses hard and fast, but they have to have them fit. So longer, slower works are what you're going to get. And when I watch the workouts, again, you want to see how they finish from the quarter pole home and see who can pick it up and who seems to be galloping out, you know, well, and who seems to be ready. And also who seems to be handling this track. Although Del Mar is pretty deep itself, there are certain horses here that really thrive over the softer, deeper surface as opposed to the old fast tracks that we used to have.
We're going to see two grade one, two-year-old races today with the Chandelier and the American Pharoah, but talk about your approach to two-year-old races where you've got maybe a couple of second-time starters and a bunch of firsters. You know, certainly this second half of the year, plenty of two-year-old racing to come over the next 6 weeks.
Well, again, you can look at the workout times, but you really should try, if you can, if you have the ability to watch the workouts. Now, I don't expect too many people can actually go out and watch them themselves, but at xbtv.com, we try to record them and then post them, the video. We do. I think the guys in the upstairs in the camera and the people who edit them and identify them do a great job. And you really can, you know, you can get a pretty good edge. And I would invite everybody, it's free, why not? XBTV.com, watch the workouts. We usually post 20 to 25 a day. And we try to concentrate on those horses that maybe need to be concentrated on, which is to say the maidens, the gate works, horses coming off layoffs, things like that. You know, because most, like 60 to 70% of your workouts are kind of benign anyway. But the ones that you really need to know about and watch and evaluate are the younger horses. And there's a lot of them out there right now, for sure. We try to cover as many as we can.
Let's get a couple of opinions on the today's two-year-old races later this afternoon. And the American Pharoah, this seems like a very talented group, Jeff.
Well, there are at least three colts in this race that that I think have a chance to be very, very good. Obviously, Eight Rings, he's the favorite at 9-5. So impressive with a 94 buyer number in his debut sprinting at Del Mar. And being by Empire Maker, you'd think that he'd have to run long. And on the basis of that, he was 50 cents in the dollar in the Del Mar Futurity. But he went made a left-hand turn leaving the gate and caused a spill and almost jumped off over the fence, and that was a disaster. But since then, he's come back with blinkers on. He's trained well, not brilliantly. You know, you remember the old Baffert two-year-olds of, you know, even American Pharoah and Justify, those kind, although Justify didn't actually run until he was three. But the real top colts that Bob had as young horses always worked faster than Eight Rings did. But Eight Rings is training like trainers train horses now in the West, which is to say, he goes off slow and easy, and he finishes steadily, and he gallops out well. So I think even Bob has gotten away from the real fast, eye-opening, you know, bullet-type drills that you normally would see. And in watching Eight Rings work, I got the impression that even though he's going a minute and change, he's in really good shape, and he's fit, and he should run very, very well.
I want to also fold in a two-year-old race, and I want to point out to everybody that if you aren't going to the handicapping section and at expressbet.com and checking out Jeff's Daymaker videos, they're invaluable. And you know, not only are you spending time picking out horses, you're explaining why and helping people understand, you know, what goes into making a play. And the 8-1 selection today in that second race, Enchanted Nile. Explain what you like about her.
Well, she's a filly bred to run long, obviously, and I thought her first start was better than the line would show, as they say. I mean, they kind of, you know how it goes with Neil. You know, he kind of gives her a run first time out. She walked out of the gate, and she got beat 10 lengths, but she galloped out well. She looked like a filly that would run long. And again, being by Pioneer, then now you'd expect her to do that. She's got two bullet workouts on the training track, and Neil doesn't usually work them fast, and she did it by herself. Neil likes to train him in company, but this filly went by herself. Both times she trained like a filly that'll want to run long. So she's also a first-time Lasix user. Neil doesn't use Lasix with first-timers, especially the two-year-olds, but she gets the Lasix. She's got the rail. Again, switching to Talamo, which is solid, obviously. And I think she's going to run a lot better than her first race would give her, you know, give her indication. She was 68-1 first time out. But, and I'm not saying that she's the greatest filly in the world, but she doesn't have to be in this race. So as a gamble, I explained why I thought Enchanted Nile had a chance to, you know, provide some wagering value for the player. And that's what I made her. That's what a Daymaker is supposed to be.
Well, and certainly the dam, Enchantress, the Malibu Moonmare, she was much better going long. And you know, knowing the way Neil Drysdale operates, he doesn't, you know, you're not gonna have him cranked up. And it looks like the stretch out and moving to the turf, she's by Pioneer of the Nile, plenty of reason to enjoy the grass. And she did come out of what ended up being a hot maiden race. That's the maiden breaker of Quality Response, who, of course, won the stake at Los Al last week for Baffert. A very unusual two-year-old maiden race where every one has made a start. And that's unusual. And I will mention a filly from Baltus, A.G. Indy, the little red feather. And I haven't looked at this race closely, but Bo Lane, who's one of our favorite breeders, just breeds a good horse, and wouldn't surprise me if this one improves stretching out on the grass either.
Well, she's also trained well. Actually, she comes out of the same race as Enchanted Nile, and I went back and watched both of them, and A.G. Indy was closer, showed more early speed, but and Shannon Nile went by her in the stretch. But AG India, again, that, you mentioned that race, quality response coming out of that race and winning the stake at Los Al, and she won that race by 7. So if you take her out of the race, and Shannon Nile only gets to be 3 lengths per second, and AG India, who, I do believe will run better than her first race, bet like she is. I think, you know, if you're playing, you know, tries or exact as tries, you'd probably want to throw her in as well. But good gambling race, and hopefully these fillies will improve as much as I think they will.
Jeff Siegel with us. We got about 3-4 minutes to close out the morning. And, Jeff, how about a couple of Saturday thoughts?
Well, of course, we're going to watch the big race, of course, is the Awesome again. This is going to be an interesting race because, in handicapping the race, I initially thought, well, okay, this is McKenzie's race too. You know, he'll win 4-5. Mile and an eighth just comes off the Whitney, and he's training unbelievably well. I don't have anything negative to say about McKenzie other than he may very well run the best race of his life, even better than he ran in the Whitney. I'm curious to see how Higher Power runs. Now, when he won the Pacific Classic, I thought it was a really good race. He left his previous form far behind. He earned a career buyer number by almost, I guess it was like 11 points. And I thought, well, maybe he just liked Del Mar. I don't know. But boy, he's worked good, too. I mean, his 3/13 the other day was, I mean, he looked like a horse that had really grown up. And being by Medaglia d'Oro, they get better with age. So, while I do think McKenzie will probably win at a mile and an eighth, at a mile and a quarter for the Classic, that might be a difference maker. So I'm really looking forward to seeing both those horses run, and maybe not from a gambling standpoint, but from a fan standpoint. I think they're both moving in the right direction and will hit the Breeders' Cup in peak form.
How about a play in the John Henry?
Wow. That race doesn't have an ounce of pace in it. And because of that, it's going to be kind of a tactical race. I don't have a great gambling feel, but Acclimate, who has to pick up 6 pounds off his Del Mar handicap win, but he's the controlling speed again, and he continues to train well. For Phil D'Amato, he's a relatively lightly raced 5-year-old gelding, and by acclimation, they get better with age. So if they hand him the racetrack, which they might, he could do it again. United is coming around nicely for Mandela, Giants Causeway gelding. He's improving with racing, relatively lightly raced. So I think those are the two that you really have to look at.
And before we wrap up, in the Unzip Me, I tried to squeeze Jay earlier, and it feels like a head scratcher. What are you doing in the nightcap?
I like a horse in that race a lot. Her name is Don't Sell, 3-year-old filly by Square Eddie. If you look at her form, they tried her long a couple of races. She can't run long, but I don't blame Doug O'Neill for trying her. I mean, give her a chance, you know. But if her turf sprint form is outstanding, and she's another one that has trained really well off the layoff. She hasn't been out since early August, so, she's been freshened, looking good, back sprinting on this turf course, good stalking style. Doesn't need to lead the win. I think she's going to develop as she gets older and nicely drawn. And 4-1 in the morning line. So give me Don't Sell for the Unzip Me.
Well, give us Jeff Siegel every chance we get. Jay Siegel Racing. That's on Twitter, of course, and Jeff's Daymaker videos on the ExpressBet website and, of course, at xbtv.com as well, and on the Santa Anita website. Jeff, happy, healthy new year, and thanks so much.
Thanks.
Let's have a great, great, safe, terrific Santa Anita season.
Yeah, same to you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Siegel, who we'll hear from weekly leading up to the Breeders' Cup. And I'll widen that greeting for all celebrating. Shana Tova, happy, healthy new year to all. And look forward to a sweet year, as we say. And want to thank Jay Pribman, Marty McGee, Mike Beer, Hammer, Ed DeRosa, Jeff Siegel, Deja on the board, and Casey on the mend as well. So much good racing, and it starts pretty much momentarily. HRRN will help you in the afternoon. And also tomorrow, of course, Bill and Dave down the stretch, and Equine Forum tomorrow as well. So right here, Sirius XM. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.